This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Okay, but now you cannot, close it once you have start the live streaming. Okay.
Okay. I think we've already gone live.
Yeah.
It's okay. So it's a matter of
2-3 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. So, Brother Saleh, we can start the session at 7 o'clock, right? I mean, 1:30 UTC.
Yes, Brother, inshallah.
Inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome all of you to a brand new Corporate Connect session with me, inshallah ta'ala. I'm Mansoor Danish. I'm the corporate relationship head with the International Open University. And inshallah ta'ala, today I'll be addressing all of you on a very important topic on economic downturn and job losses. Now, before we get the session started, I will just allow some more time for people to log into the YouTube session. Today, we are streaming live on YouTube. We are not on Zoom. I mean, we're not connected with our students via Zoom. We've kept this session open so that more people can participate using the YouTube link. So we'll allow another couple of minutes for people to come in. But meanwhile, while you have already logged in and I can see some of the people are commenting on the chat box, I would request you to share with me some of your expectation that you have from this program. What is it that has brought you to this program? And also, if you can quickly mention which country are you from in the chat box as well. And we'll start the session precisely in 2 minutes. Thank you so much. Okay, so we have Adam who has joined us from Nigeria. And Abdullah, he says that he's been facing some challenges with regards to learning and he needs guidance on the issue of business administration. So we're going to talk about that as well today, inshallah ta'ala, how you can actually use knowledge at this critical juncture where we are looking at so many economies hinting at a possible economic recession, a downturn. We'll talk about that as well. Okay, what about the others over here? Well, we have people who've joined us from South Africa. Jay Hobbs has joined us from South Africa. We've got people joining us from US, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, of course, India as well. We have Brother Masid who's joined us from India, Pakistan as well. So we've got people joining us from different parts of the world, mashallah ta'ala. And that's one of the benefit of studying with the International Open University as well, that we have diverse set of students who are coming from different parts of the world. And this richness which you bring in with terms of your diversity is actually going to help you in the long run. When you are studying with students from different parts of the world, when you're studying with teachers who are spread across different parts of the world, you start becoming better in terms of handling people with different culture, different background. So if you get a job in a country where there are people coming from different countries and working, for example, in the Middle East, for example, in UAE, you have people in a job who are working from, who have come from different parts of the world. Some are from Syria, some are from India, Pakistan, US, Australia, different parts of the world, Africa. And how do you survive in that environment? So studying in a university like IOU gives you that advantage that you are able to better handle challenges and issues which come up with diversity. All right, we've got people joining us from Afghanistan, staying in UK, Malawi, and so on and so forth, Kenya as well, Canada as well. All right, Turkish participation is also there, or is it? No. I wanted to know about investing in Turkish participating banks. All right. I thought just somebody joined from Turkey. All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Malaysia as well. A lot of you are commenting. Thank you so much for commenting. I'm not able to go through each one of them now. We're going to get the session started off. I'm done with my 2 minutes. We will begin the session right away without further ado. I'm not going to use any PowerPoint slide. So you're going to see more of me and less of a slide in front of you. I have a few points which I want to share with you. Now, at the outset, as we begin the session, we clarify that these sessions are not meant for people who are in an advanced stage of their career. This session is meant for students. Corporate Connect sessions of the International Open University are meant for students to have an opportunity to understand how the job markets are. It gives an opportunity for students to interact with industry experts whom we keep inviting from time to time, and so on and so forth. So this particular session, we are going to discuss a bit more about the job market. Now, what's the topic that we're discussing today? the topic that we are discussing, and I would request you in the chat box, while you can, you're free to chat and have discussion and share your thoughts in the chat box, but questions will only be taken up once we are done. So if you put a question right now in the chat box, in all likelihood, I'm going to miss that out. So avoid putting a question in the chat box, but you're free to share whatever you wish to in the chat box. You can interact and keep sharing your views. I can go through that later. All right. So going back to the topic is economic downturn and jobs. Let us start off by understanding what do we mean by economic downturn. And we are not going to get into technical definitions because we need to understand there are students who are coming from non-business background, non-economics background. We have students from psychology who've joined the session, students from Islamic studies and Arabic language and psychology and education who may not have a very clear picture on how the technical aspects work. So keeping all of that in mind, we'll try to avoid the technicalities and take a very basic definition of an economic downturn. When we hear of economic downturn, all we mean to say is that the country or that specific nation is going through a decline in their economic growth. The economic growth is on a decline. There has been a negative economic growth. Look, every economy is striving to grow, and they grow by increasing their consumption. How does an economy grow? What are the tools through which you measure an economy? One of the tools that you use is the gross domestic product. And it is basically the summation of your consumption pattern. So the consumption in terms of what you buy, in terms of products and services and investment and so on and so forth, government expenditures as well, all of that is taken into account. Now, when I am looking at economic downturn, I'm trying to tell you that there has been a fall in demand. There has been a fall in consumption pattern of people. And all of this is leading to a decline in the economic growth of a particular country. All right. Now, this fall in demand can happen due to various factors, which we will not try to touch on today. We'll just try to touch on a couple of them. But coming to the more critical aspect is that there is a falling pattern in the demand. Citizens of that particular country, people like you and me living in a country, we tend to spend less on our consumption, or we are delaying certain purchases. We don't want to buy right now. We're delaying, postponing our purchase decision. Why? Because we feel that we need more money in hand right now. Because we are hearing that there is hike happening in oil prices. We are hearing that the Ukraine war is taking place, which will lead to rise in oil prices and so on and so forth. All of this causes concern amongst people. When COVID happened, What was the knee-jerk reaction that people did? Many people started stocking up. Many people started postponing their normal purchase decision. They stopped buying things which they felt was not a necessity. It was item of comforts and luxury. They started postponing those decisions. When you postpone such decision, and in a larger nation, when most of the citizens start following that pattern, there's a decline in the demand. And when there is a decline in the demand, naturally, there will be a fall in the growth of the nation, the economic growth of the nation. Now, this fall will have an impact, which we'll talk of. But this is what economic downturn is. So there is a decline in the general consumption pattern of people. When I say consumption, we're not merely talking about consumption of food. Okay, consumption means could be anything, you know, buying decisions of people that is getting delayed. Investment decisions of people are getting delayed. I want to hold on to my money. I don't want to invest my money anywhere. Why? Because I know that this is a critical time and I may need money during emergencies. Example, job losses, as we are talking about it today. When you know that you're going to lose your job because there is a recession in the economy, what is the knee-jerk reaction? You decide to postpone taking any decision to purchase anything. You want more money in your account because you are worried that, God forbid, if I lose my job, if there is a layoff in my company, I need to survive for a couple of months or 3 months till I find an alternative job. So all of this you can see is going to lead to a drop in the consumption pattern, and therefore the economic growth of that particular nation will tend to decline. Now, with 2023, economists have been warning, giving a warning signal that all the effect of the COVID and the Ukraine war, which has taken place, they will start impacting economies or continue to impact economies more so in the first half of 2023. So the first 6 months of 2023 is a critical period for many nations. And the alarming Or rather the countries which have a higher risk of falling into this recession are mostly European countries and the United Nations, the United States of America. These are countries which are running that risk of reporting negative economic growth or a decline in their economic growth. Countries like in the Middle East and South Asia and Africa are supposed to have a moderate growth. So if you are in one of these nations, some of the economists are hopeful about how Middle East is going to fare. They are hopeful about it. They feel that there will be a moderate growth, or there may not be a decline which will impact deeply. So there is expectation, there's high expectation with Middle East and South Asia and African nations. All right. So this is how what economic downturn is. Now, what does economic downturn lead to? We spoke about falling economic growth. We spoke about a recession, a potential recession. What is recession? Now, recession means, and this is the economic definition, consecutively, there are two quarters of negative economic growth, which means there's a decline. Consecutive two quarters, there is a steady decline in the growth of the economy of that nation. The moment it hits two consecutive quarters, the country is supposed to have entered into the state of recession. So this is something which you have to keep in mind. So when you hear about recession, one quarter when the economy falls, it is not a recession. All right. One quarter falling is not a recession. An economy can fight back and hit back. Necessary measures are being taken. Steps are being taken by the government, by the central bank of that country to see how the economy can be pushed back to its original levels. Another aspect of economic downturn is that there's falling levels of income. So you might still continue to have a job, but the income levels may fall. Now, I have personally seen this in my, experience over the last so many years, that there were the times when a specific job used to attract a lot of salary, a lot of money. But subsequent to the 2008 subprime crisis, the same level of jobs were offering lower amount of pay. Now, there are two reasons for that. One is from a company's perspective, the company is now trying to ensure that they don't have to lay off people, so the jobs remain. And at the same time, they have to make sure that they have a control over their spending, so they start cutting off the income levels. That's one of the things. The second thing is people are looking for a job, whether it's a good market or a bad market. As you have graduates graduating, they want jobs. So companies know that people don't have much of an option in terms of seeking a job. You know, whichever job comes their way, they just want to grab the job and hold on to a job. So that's why sometimes the companies also try to, push it through lower levels of salary. But largely the reason is that companies are trying to protect the existing employees. So they tell the existing employees that, well, we might have to lower the levels of income in this period of time. And then, of course, in the long run, as things will sort out, we'll try to bring it back to the original levels. So there is falling levels of income, which is another characteristic of a downturn. Now, employment levels start falling. Why do employment levels fall? And this is something which we have to discuss today. You have to understand that one of the factors of production in any economy is what? Well, there are four factors of production. The first is land. The second is labor. The third is capital. And the fourth is entrepreneur. So one of the factors is labor. The second factor which I mentioned was labor. Labor is a factor of production. In order to carry out a production, I need people. I need employees. I need labor. They are an important factor for production. If I have to, let's say, manufacture this mobile phone, I will need people. It can't be simply digitized. Everything can't be digitized. Some level of manpower is needed. If I have to manufacture this computer screen or desktop, which you're using right now to watch me, or if it's a television through which you're screening this, you need some people involved to run this and then to provide the after-sale service as well. So what happens is that labor being an important factor of production, when consumers and citizens and people stop their consumption pattern or reduce their consumption pattern, what's happening? The demand is falling. When I, as a manufacturer, know that the consumption patterns are on the fall, it's on the decline, the demand is falling, the purchase decisions are falling, as in people are postponing their purchase decision, what am I going to do as a manufacturer? Will I keep on running the factory at its original level? Will I keep on producing the same number of units which I used to do when the markets were all good? No, I will have to cut down my production. Now, when I cut down my production, my usage of labor will fall. I will not need so many laborers because production levels are falling. So when production levels will fall, there will be laying off of people which will take place. I don't need so many people because I have no option. How will I run my business? How will I run my company? How will I run my factory? I don't need so many people at my workplace. So you start laying off of people. This is an important point which I want to make you understand, that one of the primary reasons why companies and factories lay off people during recession is because they are not able to produce at the original levels. Now, if they keep hiring people, they know that they will not be able to produce at the original levels. Why? Because there's no point producing so much when there's no demand. If there's no demand and you keep producing more goods, there will be excess surplus which will be created. There may be even wastage, because if you're not able to sell that surplus, you'll be forced to sell it at a lower price so that you're able to get rid of your items in the warehouse. And this is actually going to impact the goodwill of your company, because you might be lowering your price levels, which after a point of time, you might have created an image of the company. You know, Apple, for example, if it starts selling mobile phones tomorrow at a throwaway price, well, people might go and buy, but there is an element of, you know, well, I wouldn't call it status, because status can be misunderstood. But when you buy an Apple phone, you know that there is a set of audience which will buy an Apple phone. So when the prices will keep falling, some people who would buy an Apple phone would think there's nothing unique about an Apple phone. Today, anyone and everyone can afford an Apple phone and buy an Apple phone. So that's why they might even delay the decision making. So as a company, I have this situation where I know that I can't really lower my prices by going on a production spree. At the same time, if I have people hired when the production levels are low, I have to pay them. When I pay them salary or wages, when there is no production, no sale taking place, it will start hitting my reserves. The reserves that I created, which were supposed to be used back to enhance the production level and enhance the marketing and let it be used for growth, will now be used for paying off of salaries and wages to people who are working without generating any major productive, without generating any productivity, because we don't need them. We just have them on our payrolls. So companies will be forced to lay off such people. Now, this is about the layoffs that will take place. So we've spoken about consumers or customers spending less. They will tend to even save more. What happens is, as I told you, if I have to take an investment decision, if I have to buy a property, and I know a huge amount of money is going to go out if I buy a property, I'll postpone that decision because I know that I'm hearing about recession taking place first half of the year. There is already a fear, a concern being raised. So as a consumer, I'm going to postpone that decision because I know I need that money in case there will be what they call rainy days. So you can see the clouds are building up and the rainy days that might be around. So you are apprehensive. Because of this apprehension, you spend less, you delay your savings, investments, I beg your pardon. You keep more money in your hand, in your saving bank's account. You want to have ready access to that money. All right, companies. Now, this is as far as recession and job losses are concerned. Before I move forward, do you have any questions over here quickly in the chat box? I'm going to take two or three questions if there are any. Any questions? Please let me know. I'm waiting in the chat box, so if there is anything, just let me know in the chat box. Okay, we don't see any questions at this point of time. So we are going to proceed with our discussion, inshallah ta'ala. So we come back to the issue of jobs. Now, as a student, I have to understand, yes, quarter is a three-month period, Masud. Quarter is a three-month period. So you have four quarters in a year, 4 × 3, 12 months. Thank you. All right. Now, let's come back to our discussion. Hanifam, in the chat box, please wait with your question. Now I'm moving on. Inshallah, we'll take the questions towards the end. All right. So from a student perspective, why should you be worried or concerned? As a student, you will be worried or concerned because you're going to graduate soon. And as soon as you graduate, you would want to land up with a job. You might be looking to start working and getting some experience in the industry. Now, for that level of industry experience, you will face a challenge because it might be difficult to find a job for yourself, because already companies are laying off. Already companies who may not be laying off would also want to, you know, go slow with the hiring process. Unless, of course, there is a need for hiring a specific person, they would be a little slow in terms of their hiring process. Companies would want to have more cash in hand so that they can run the operation of the company during difficult times. Because remember, companies are unsure whether the revenues will keep coming in the way it was coming during the good days, because people in the society will be spending less. It's a chain reaction, you see. It's a chain reaction. Now, imagine you're working in a company and the company says there is recession taking place. We might be laying off people. They've just announced they haven't laid off anyone. What happens? You stop spending. When you stop spending, you are contributing to the falling of the economic levels or the growth level of the country, isn't it? Because we just said that economic growth includes the total consumption pattern. So when you're reducing your consumption, when you're delaying your decision to buy something, postponing your purchase decision, what are you doing? You are contributing to the decline in the economy. So like you, there will be others who might be even laid off. So people who are now laid off, they know for the next 2 to 3 months, they have to survive on the savings. So they will delay any kind of unwanted expenses, which can be postponed, like buying a comfort. I don't need to buy a sofa set right now. I might even delay buying a bed for myself. I'll try and just do with whatever I have till I find a job. Are you getting the point that I'm trying to make? So just losing jobs or not getting jobs is not enough. There are people who are working in an organization, in a company, and they would also be contributing to this because they will not be spending much. So that's an important point that I wanted to make. Now, coming to the issue of jobs, and I came across a very good quotation the other day where it said in one of the blogs which I was reading, unemployment, when it happens, when people start losing job, it happens rapidly. It happens like a rocket. Unemployment rises up like a rocket, but it settles down. It falls back like a feather. So you know how a feather falls. If you've ever seen a bird flying and if a feather comes off and it falls, it comes down slowly. And what another characteristic of a feather is, when the feather comes to rest, it doesn't make any sound. So when unemployment goes away from the economy, it goes away gradually without making too many sound, too many noise. So, but when unemployment happens, it creates a lot of hullabaloo, a lot of sound, like a rocket, you know, taking off. So unemployment, when it rises like a rocket and it falls back like a feather. So recession, unemployment, economic downturn, I hope you've understood the link between all of them. Now, as a student, what are the things that I have to take care of when it comes to finding a job? First and foremost, I make it absolutely clear that not only should companies be looking for alternatives, when a recession is about to take place, when economists are sending alarming signals that the global recession will take place, first half of the year, few countries are being sent warning signals, countries in the Europe and the West are being sent signals that you need to be prepared for a fall to take place. What are you supposed to do, or what are companies in these countries supposed to do? They have to start looking for alternatives. They have to start seeing what are the ways by which we can have an alternate plan in process. Similarly, my dear students, you too have to work on an alternative. If you were thinking that you're going to just simply graduate and look out for a job and get a job, it's not going to happen. You have to be prepared that the markets are changing. So in a market which is changing, what are the things I need to keep in mind? The first thing which I say, and this is something which is my personal favorite, and I have been sharing this in my posts on social media, on my reels and videos and other lectures which I give, I always stress on this. And the International Open University also has the skill development session that we conduct for our students regularly. And yes, I'm talking about skill development. When the times are tough, you need to find a way to survive. You know, when necessity comes, you start inventing things, right? Like they say, necessity is the mother of invention. How did invention take place? There is a saying, necessity led to invention. We needed something, so we started inventing something. Similarly, if you need a job and you know the prevailing situation is not conducive for you to get a job with your degree, what is it that you need to add to your degree to get a job? A skill. You need to focus on building in soft skills, short courses on communication, short courses on leadership, short courses on how to negotiate, how to effectively sell products, how to build in emotional intelligence, how to have time management, self-management, how to manage yourself, how to work on mental health of an individual. If you do these short courses, these are skills which you are adding to yourself. They are all feathers on your cap, which is going to help you fly high in the long run. The more feathers you're going to add to yourself, it's going to help you fly. So if you want to fly in this difficult period of time, and you're not finding a job, try to pick up these short courses. Get a certificate. Once you have a course done, a certificate with you, you know you can display that on your curriculum vitae or your resume. You can talk about it. You can discuss about it with your HRs for interviews. So you're trying to stand out with competition. Okay, you're seeing competition and you want to stand out. All right, there's an azan taking place right now around my vicinity. So we'll just pause for a couple of minutes and then we'll continue our session. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the session, and we will continue our discussion on jobs and what kind of jobs that we should be looking for. We started off our discussion, and I'm just going to quickly recapitulate. We started off our discussion by talking about building in skills. And I told you that skills are extremely critical. Even in the downturn, spend a small amount of money building in a skill. If you know how to communicate, do a course on communication. Look, talking with friends and communication is not the same thing. Professional communication is different. Communication required at workplace is different. So please know the difference between the two. Just because you're able to talk with your friends, five of you are able to hang out, and you know one of you are a glib talker, it's not necessary that you know the level of communication required at a workplace. So you need to work on getting those necessary skills. I, as a company, if I have to hire someone and if I see that there is an application in front of me where a person has the same level of knowledge or more or less similar level of experience with another candidate, what is going to be the clincher? What will be the factor which will get the deal clinched for you? The clinching factor, the deal clincher for you will be the skills that you have. What makes you different from the other person is your skill. Qualification, you and me can have the same level of qualification. We've got so many students studying with us in our psychology and education and business administration. They'll all be graduating soon. So they'll all have the same level of qualification. Where is the clinching, the deal clincher? The deal clincher is, you have a certificate on professional communication. You have a certificate on critical thinking. Workplace organizations like people who are able to analyze things critically. Because in your workplace, it's not a herd mentality. They don't want a herd mentality. Companies, good companies, don't want people to just simply take orders and work. They want people to come back and give feedback. If they have a different opinion, a different approach, which can be more effective, they would like you to share that. For that, you need to have a critical mindset as well. Analyze things critically. Now, it doesn't mean you become a person who's pessimistic and always criticizing and speaking negatively. There's a thin line between that. For that, you need to do a course on critical thinking, a short course on critical thinking. The art of handling a no, an objection. If you are going to be in a market where consumption patterns are falling, people are delaying the purchase decision, highly likely that as a company, I would like to have a person who knows how to convince people. If I have to hire Abdurrahman, I would see whether Abdurrahman has the ability to successfully convince people in this market where people are delaying buying decisions. Can he go and convince someone to buy a product? That's what a company wants. Company eventually wants revenue. It wants sales. So do I have a particular qualification or a short course which I've done through a professional who is an expert in the field to guide you? If I can see that certificate, I'm going to be confident as an employer. So I hope you're getting the point that I'm trying to make here in terms of handling your professional, the soft skills. Now let's come to the other issue, the hard skills or the technical skills. There are certain jobs which require technical expertise. There is growing awareness and focus on the usage of cryptography and interrelated, you know, products which are being used using the same crypto knowledge. Can I do a course on that? It's a little technical, but can I do a course on that and bring myself to a level where I can actually grab a job in that sector? It could be that the sector where I had an expertise is now going through a downward trend. So can I actually do a course, a short course, which can make me move industries? Can make me move sectors. I change my sector completely. Can I do that? Yes, you can do that. Why can't you do it? All you need to do is identify an opportunity. Remember, necessity is the mother of invention. If a situation demands that you have to change, you have to change. You have to change yourself with the situation, with the You know, the only thing constant in life, one of the things which I learned from my former superior was the only thing constant in life is a change. And you should be willing to change and willing to adapt to changes. You can't be too hard on yourself that, well, come what may, I'm not going to change. I don't think you're being hard on yourself. You're being too easy on yourself. I stand corrected. You have to be hard on yourself. If the time is such that you need to change, so, well, so be it. I need to get more knowledge. And there is no age to learning. Let us pause here for a while. In this university, we also look into the curriculums from an Islamicized perspective. So let me share with you some teachings from the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, most of them who got at that point of time were coming to the deen, coming, you know, accepting Islam, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What were the age? Were they all young? Were they all in the age group of, you know, 8 to 14 where they could learn and learn and learn? No. Many of them were of the age of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the nubuwwah descended at around the age of 40. So most of the companions around him were in that age group as well. Or maybe a little younger than him. So the point that I'm trying to make is that people were learning at that age. They were investing on understanding the knowledge of the deen. They were memorizing the Quran. And here we're talking about companions who knew Arabic. Not like some of us who don't know the language. We memorize the Quran, but we don't know how to apply it. But these were people who knew what they were memorizing and they knew how to apply it because the Prophet ﷺ was there to guide them. The point we're trying to say is there's no age to learning. And we saw that in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. We saw that in the life of his beloved companions. We saw it in the life of the early generation of Muslims. And that is why we see that one of the golden age of the Muslim world was during the early period. Because people invested in their learning. They understood the importance of seeking knowledge. Knowledge does not mean that you gain knowledge till the age of 20, 25. Once I have a postgraduate or I have a PhD, khalas, I'm done. I don't need to do anything else in life. Now I can just work and work and work. No, you have to keep investing. The only thing that keeps you young is learning. Because the more you're learning, you're remaining abreast with the changes taking place. You're young in your mind. The age, the body, it's all going to wither away. It will all go away with time. The only thing that will remain with you is the knowledge that you're learning. And for that, you need to keep acquiring knowledge for with times. Keep upgrading yourself. Unless you upgrade yourself, you can't survive in this market. So I'm telling you that for technical skills, could be something related to, let's say, coding. It could be something related to digital marketing. I was having a word with one of my students this morning, and she, I think, had done her graduation with geography as a specialization, if I recall correctly. And she, after that, did a few courses, and she tried her hand in different things. But finally, she did a course in digital marketing, and now she is doing pretty well for herself, mashallah, and she's exploring options in the field of digital marketing. No correlation to what she did in her graduation days, etc. So the point I'm trying to say is when the situation is tough and you have to survive, necessity becomes the mother of invention. So necessity leads you to taking decision. Take those decisions. Invest in these small skills. If you feel you have creative urges in you and you want to explore this option, take up a course on digital marketing. There's a big demand for that because growing, that is advertisement today, social media, you know, social media advertisement and so on and so forth. Content writing. Can you do a course on content writing for yourself? Can you become a good content writer? Can you understand the nuances required for being a content writer? You're good with your language. You can write well, but you don't know the nuances required for content writing. So you can do these courses, inshallah ta'ala, which can benefit you. In addition to this, there is a growing demand and need for having SEO experts, CEO experts, not CEO, SEO, search engine optimization. When you type something on Google right now and you search, if your company name does not pop up amongst the top 10 or top 20 or top 50, it means your company is not ranked by Google on their webpage. It may still appear on Google, but it does not mean that it's highly ranked. So what happens is when I have to search for training courses, I'm going to type the name of my company and search for training courses. When I type for training courses, and if it does not appear in the first 2 to 3 pages, highly unlikely that I'll keep on searching for another company. The search normally gets limited to the first 2 to 3 pages. That's by that time, people are ready to take a decision. So you need to get people who will be able to push your website, your company's profile in these 3 pages. Can you become one of those? It's a very interesting field. Can you actually do a course on how to be an expert with SEO? Do a course on that. There's a business model for you. You can be a freelance. You can work for many companies. You can offer the services to many. All right. So I'm giving you these options over here as I'm talking to you, because all of these skills, once you have become expert in applying and then using it, you can actually sell your skills. All right. We'll talk more about that. Now, which are the sectors which you will feel will continue doing well in this recession period as well, if there is a recession in your country or whenever you see an economic downturn? This topic is applicable for all time, because downturn can happen at any point of time. No country keeps on growing all the way till the end, and you know there will be downward trends. One of the sectors which I have always felt there has been a need, even in difficult time, is the education sector. How does it work? When the markets are doing well and there is competition and everyone's applying for a job, you want to stand out. Am I right? You want to stand out. You want to make sure you get the job. So you are trying to get into the best universities. You're trying to make sure you get a higher level of qualification. So education sector remains in demand. But what happens when there is a decline? When there is a decline, people are rushing back to the universities to upgrade themselves. That's what I just told you a while back. Upgrade yourself. So people are going back to universities. So education sector is one of the unique sector which continues to remain in demand by and large, even during difficult times. People are ready to invest more on themselves so that they can get that spring, that push to move to the next level, even in a downward economic trend. And this is a blessing of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. Allah the Most High has blessed us. That knowledge continues to remain in demand, whether the economy is going up or going down. So education sector is something you need to look at. So if you're looking for jobs, you might even try your hand. If you have the knowledge and the skills, and now you're ready to move into a level where you can impart or share that knowledge, you can do it at a university level if you have the necessary qualifications, or you could be doing it at a high school level, depending on what your expertise are. Okay. I mean, we're keeping this wide open because we have students from different backgrounds today. In addition to this, we're talking about medical professions. Okay, before we come to medical profession, what about administrative jobs? Naturally, when there are more students applying, etc., there will be demand for administrative jobs as well. So there is continuous requirement for administrative job. In addition to this, with COVID, the concept of learning has also tilted a bit, all right? It's shifting slowly to online learning, learning in the virtual space. So can you actually bring in some expertise? Because you're, most of us at IOU are students online. So if you have studied in the virtual space, can you actually use that to get into a university where you can actually teach in a virtual space? Because you have been in that environment as a student, so you are better equipped to handle the challenges related to the virtual space. Now that's as far as the education sectors are concerned. Jobs, what are we trying to say? We are basically saying that these are jobs that will cater to universal needs. Whatever the situation is, any sector going up and down, there will continuously be demand for learning more. So you have to identify jobs which are going to cater to universal needs. Education caters to the university, the universe as a whole. Everyone can come to a university and gain knowledge, right? So you need to identify jobs which will cater to universal needs. You need to find jobs which are catering to important essential services. Now, essential services, we are going to talk about medical now first, and then we'll talk about other forms of essential services. Medical field, because of the COVID which has taken place, there has been a rise in, let's say, demand for ENTs. All right. There's been a growing demand in many countries where they want people who are ENTs to come and join them. So if you are, let's say, from the medical profession or background, you need to identify which are the sectors where you can actually, move in and make most for yourself. In addition to this, there is also demand for health, the health sector, with rising developments taking place in terms of saving lives of people. There is more pressure on the health sector as well, because life is something that people are ready to literally go and ask for money to save lives. You see? So this is a sector which has a huge demand. And with more medical advancement taking place, the sector will continue to remain in demand. It's not like a tourism sector which goes out of demand. COVID, the health sector was in demand. Are we saying that there would have been no COVID, health sectors would have been lying idle? No. There's continuous demand which will be there. So the demand will be at an administrative level also. So if you are not a qualified doctor or a nurse, you will still be able to find a job if there is an administrative requirement and you fit the bill. All right. So sometimes you might be a business administrative and you might have handled, these sectors, or your specialization would be in sectors where you can actually handle the challenges related to the hospital sectors, etc. So you can actually apply over there. In addition to all of this, you need to find jobs which are in demand in a specific sector. So another way of searching for jobs will be, which are the sectors which are doing well? If my sector is not doing well, let's say if the sector in which I am in is taking a downward trend. If I'm in the automobile sector and the automobile sector is running out of steam at this point of time due to recession, which is a sector which is doing well? Which is a sector which is growing, which means they will have more demand coming up in the future? Identify, do a bit of search. We can all sit back, laid back and say, we are resting everything on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are hoping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send in his help. He will not help you till you want to help yourself. You make the first effort. You make the move, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to guide us. He's there to show us the way. Put your tawakkal in Allah, trust in Allah. We'll come to that at the end. All right. Again, another sector where you can be looking for jobs is the Islamic banking and financial services. The Islamic banking and financial services sector has been a very fast growing sector. And with growing awareness happening amongst the Muslims, more and more Muslims are preferring to move to an Islamic bank to set up their account rather than choosing the conventional interest-based bank or the secular-based bank. So when I know that there is a growing demand in the Islamic banking sector, can I actually do sessions and courses and gain skills on things which are required in the Islamic banking sector? For example, if you're a student in Islamic studies here, BA in Islamic studies, you should be now looking on how you can use your knowledge, leverage your knowledge by moving into Islamic banking sector, because there are a lot of demands for people who are experts in terms of understanding deen and so on and so forth. So you need to identify that. You need to see where you can bridge the gap. If you are working in a conventional bank, if you're working in a secular bank, or you have a knowledge in general finance, but you don't have knowledge on Islamic banking and finance, maybe you can do a course with the International Open University, a certificate course on Islamic banking and economics, which can work like a spring and push you to the next level. You have a degree in Islamic banking and economics, but you don't have a knowledge in business administration. Do a certificate course, do a short diploma course, acts like a spring, pushes you to the next level. All right? Could be anywhere. I mean, I'm giving you the example of International Open University because we are in International Open University are offering you all of this. But beyond that, whichever part of the world you are in, if there is something which, let's say, the IOU doesn't offer and you're looking for, look out. Look out for opportunities and then apply for that. Okay? So this is as far as the aspects are in terms of the sectors. All right? So for technical jobs like we were talking about medical, there is a growing demand for pharmacists also. All right, so if you can do us, I believe there is a qualification required to set up your own pharmacy. Some of those courses are certificate courses, so you really don't need to do a degree-based course. Identify what is the requirement. If I know that the pharmacy sector has a good demand and I can do business using this knowledge, what is the thing required for me to set up my own pharmacy? Okay, maybe initially I can hire somebody who's a qualified pharmacist to come and sit, but gradually I can actually do that necessary qualification myself. So there is, as you can see, demand is there. You don't have to be hopeless. You don't have to feel things are all over for you. Challenges are going to be big. Yes, there will be challenges, and challenges will remain all our life. If our life would have been all simple, then we would all be laid back and we would not express our gratitude to our Lord. The reason why we come back and express our gratitude to our Lord is because when we see the challenging situation around us, we realize the importance of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down upon us. All right, I hope these points are clear to you. Now, an important point that I'm going to say before we will open up the forum for questions, and that is putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Ar-Razzaq. He is the one, Allah is the one who's going to send you the provision. You think it's your knowledge which will get you the job? Do you think it's your qualification which will get you the job? Do you think it's your skills which will alone get you the job? No, they alone will not give you a job. Eventually, these are all going to add up. But eventually, the job is going to come to you from your Rabb. Your Rabb is seeing your effort. You put in the effort. When you acquire a knowledge, you acquire a skill, you acquire a learning, you acquire a qualification, you're putting in an effort. Allah sees your effort. The job, your provisions will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, in this period of time, when we're talking about jobs, you have to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Faith is extremely important. Tawakkal is extremely important. Trust in God is extremely important. Spirituality is an important aspect of a life of a common Muslim. This is what drives us to the next level. Drives us to the level of growth. Spirituality alone is not enough. You need many things along with spirituality. You need to have basic knowledge of the dunya as well, so that you can survive in the dunya. But when you face challenges of the dunya, remember to hold fast to the rope of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, to hold fast to the rope of Allah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not be divided amongst yourself. Don't be divided. Don't dispute with one another over silly things and so on and so forth. Remain together. Keep looking out for jobs and opportunities. If there are no jobs and opportunities, can you become a creator? Can you create a job for yourself? Can you create jobs for others? Do you have that level of thinking, that vision? Are you a visionary? You need to be a visionary if you want to be successful in life. And that is the note on which we are going to end, that you put your trust in God. You remember that He is watching you. And He's ever watching you. And He sees you in which situation you are in. He sees you through the challenges you face. He sees you through the trouble you face. And He tells you and He assures you, He is not, لا يخلف الله نفسا. He will not put any burden on you which you are not able to bear. He knows what steel you are made up of. And we all have that steel in us. He knows it. He's going to test us. He's going to, you know, when you have to give a direction to a steel, when you have to mold a steel, what do? You put it through a furnace of heat. Allah will put us through that furnace of heat so that we get the right shape. Don't lose hope. Don't run away. With that, we are going to conclude the initial presentation, and I'm going to invite you all to ask questions if you have any. Avoid getting into technical questions because it's not going to help others who are not from the technical background. Let's be on the topic and take questions on that. Thank you so much for attending the session. Now, while you're typing your questions, and I'm waiting for the questions to come in, here's a quick reminder to you. The International Open University's CRP department invites companies and employers to come to the IOU's virtual campus and check out our students. Our students are graduating in psychology, they're graduating in education, in Islamic studies, in business administration, in Islamic banking and economics, in Arabic as well. So if you're looking for somebody who can actually meet your requirement, do give our students a knock. You can get in touch with me on my email address, which is crp.head@iou.edu.gm. You can always get it. I'm there on social media. You can get in touch. I can share that email address later with you. Also, while the questions are coming in, you're watching this video on YouTube, do us a favor. Please click on subscribe right now. It helps us grow. And also do me another favor. Please remember to share this video amongst your family, amongst your friends, and share it on your social media and all. Let others benefit as well from the video. Also, I would appreciate if you keep sharing your feedback as well. So share your feedback on how the session was and whether it was able to meet your expectation. All right, a lot of questions coming in. So let me just get the questions in. Will this video be available online on this channel after the live session ends? Yes, very much. It will be available. And that's why I said, please share the video link with your friends and family and colleagues as well. All right. Now, Masit wants to know, middle-class businesses should adapt to emerging economic conditions for students who should choose to do business. Should they? And should they? I'm trying to understand your question. When you say middle-class businesses, you are saying that businesses are already established. Then you say that students who are planning to do business. So I'm getting a little confused. I'll address the students factor, all right? Because that's of interest to me and to those students who've joined here. What about students who are planning to do business? It's very simple. First and foremost, you need to do a feasible study and see whether the business that you're planning to do, what is the level of demand that it has in the market where you intend to function. That's the most basic rule. Now, if you see that the demand in that particular sector is not there because of the economic outlook, etc., see where you can actually make most. Identify where the demand is. If you are clueless, what business should I start right now? I have money. Some people, they have the knack to do business. Whatever they touch is gold, but they don't know what to touch. They're lost. So identify the business sectors which are doing well. A, B, identify those sectors which will not be impacted by the economic crisis. I give you an example of the health sector. I give you an example of the education sector. Okay, there can be many more sectors. I gave you examples about how many startups are coming. Many companies are now moving their marketing and promotion through the virtual space, social media, and so on and so forth. Even if they hire you, they want you to be an SEO expert. They want a content writer. There's a growing demand for a content writer, a graphic designer, and so on and so forth. So all of these are in demand. Now, can you actually work on this? Can you actually set up, let's say, a firm which has a group of graphic designers and IT experts and SEOs and those who can do coding of websites? Can you actually create a small team for yourself and now reach out to companies who need the services of yours? There are a lot of scope, a lot of opportunities, all right? So Masid, I don't know whether that answered your question because you spoke about what businesses should students choose. And yes, should they choose a business in this economic outlook? Yes. Just because there's an economic downturn does not mean that you stop doing business. You have to look out for opportunities. As I said, necessity is the mother of invention. You have to do the effort. You can't say, well, I'm waiting for the economic downturn to move, to go away. You have to contribute to that. When you are setting up a business, you're spending some money. That some money is going to help the economy push back. Okay? So that's an important point that I was trying to make. How would the investments fare in such conditions? Now, of course, you will have to give a longer period for the investments to come back, all right? I believe in self-funding. I'm not in favor of going to banks and borrowing money and high interest rates, etc., or taking money from third persons on loan and then doing it, putting more pressure on yourself, you know? You need to find out how much surpluses you have. Use that surplus judiciously to do the business. If I know that my surplus is X amount, let's say $100, for example, And I know that this economic downturn will take at least a year and a half to come back to original levels. Remember, it shoots up like a rocket, settles down like a feather. It takes a time to come back to normal levels. So when I know it's going to take 18 months, I need to make sure that this amount of money I'm able to spread over 18 months. So accordingly, I'm going to expand myself, grow myself. Okay, that's addressing Masud's query. Masud has asked more questions, but I'm going to allow others to come in as well. Okay, I'm a full-time student at IOU. I do brand strategy and brand identity design on the side. I'd like to know your opinion whether this is a good... Of course, we just spoke on that. I mean, firms at this point of time will focus more on branding, on more on projecting themselves as a solution provider. So branding is a very good field in which you are. And of course, if there are technical aspects which are required to further up your skills and knowledge, you should do that while you continue to work. You should try and invest a bit on your skills and develop your skills. Because remember, you're continuously facing competition from the youth. The ones who are graduating now are coming up with latest knowledge. You are continuously competing with these people. So if you're already in the field, you need to find ways to upgrade yourself. Stay on top of the competition. That is how you stay on top of the competition. If you don't upgrade yourself continuously, you will be forgotten in the annals of the history. All right. So you need to take care of that. Okay. What are my expectations in terms of job opportunities as an Islamic banker? I mentioned to you how the Islamic banking sector is doing even in this period of time. There is a growing awareness. It is one of the growing, it is growing at a fast rate, fast pace. Yes, economic downturn does impact financial services as well. So you will find Islamic banking slowing down in their growth, but you don't tend to find negative growth as such because there is continuous growing demand amongst the Muslim world. And there is still a large chunk of Muslim population which are still not using the services, but there is a growing awareness. So you need to cash in on that unawareness, all right, that people have. And you need to identify necessary skills. For this, I would request you to contact the Islamic Banking and Economics Department that we have at the International Open University. You can speak to its head. His head will be, our head over there will be able to guide you better on what other things which you can be focusing on in this sector, inshallah ta'ala. By the way, you can also get in touch with me if you need assistance. Okay, how about job opportunities in alternative medicine sector like acupuncture and therapies? Now, Sanjita, on this question, I will say that I don't know what are the licenses firstly required. Does the government of the day gives license to these alternative medicines? Some alternative medicines do not have licenses to function. And so you need to check on that in the local country where you are, the legal laws, etc., because you don't want to do anything which is going against the law of the land. So you have to stick to the law of the land and function. Now, yes, you have given a very good example that if there are things like acupuncture and cupping, for example, the hijama therapy or cupping therapy, gain the necessary knowledge and skill. I know of a very good friend of mine, a very good business that he is doing and continues to do that, mashallah, tabarakallah. It's in the field of garments. He's doing very well for himself. He's got a business running for years now. And at the same time, he and his spouse, they did a course on cupping therapy and they have kept on upgrading themselves. And today, most of the time go on providing services on in this sector. And there are people who are walking in from all walks of life, from all communities, all professions. It's not only Muslims who are coming in. There are people from sports, film stars and actors. Everyone is flocking to him to come for cupping therapy and so on and so forth. So, yes, if you find that you have that knack and you have that, you know, these are things which requires a soft hand. So if you think that you can be gentle with your clients, in terms of carrying out these cupping and acupuncture, etc., and it's legal in your country, please go ahead and do the necessary skills required. But learn the knowledge, okay, through a professional. It can't be just YouTube. Yes, YouTube is a good for starters, but unless you have, you're certified, you have a certificate from somebody who's an expert, you should avoid it. Writing of a business plan is something else altogether. So I'm going to skip that question, Ali, but you can get in touch with me. All right. So you can get in touch with me separately. I can assist you with writing of a business plan. All right. Falah wants to know. Does she want to know anything? Okay, Falah has said it's an enlightening session on the current economic situation. Thank you, Falah, for attending the session. Abdu wants to say, mashallah, you've pointed exactly the best way where we should focus. Jazakallah khairan. Okay, barakallahu fi. Rahman is from Dhaka. He doesn't have any question. Knowing Turkey's war on interest and its promotion on participation banks, Sharia compliant banks, is it worth keeping the money in them while getting profit? And also the Turkish lira rebounding, good investment. Now, this is something where I must confess that I have not had a chance to study much about the Sharia participation banks that they are coming up with, and etc. I know that Turkey is focusing, but then like Turkey, many other countries, Middle East is also focusing on Islamic Sharia banks. So is Far East in Malaysia and Indonesia, and even Singapore for that matter, is focusing. And in fact, globally, other countries are also focusing on Islamic Sharia bank because they see there is a demand for it. They know that there are customers who are ready to buy the product. Turkey amongst them is as well. Africa is doing very well as well. There are a lot of African countries who have been looking at ways to set them up, inshallah ta'ala. For Turkey, I've not had a chance to study about what are the models that they are using. So if there's anything specific that is there in your mind relating to jobs, etc., working with them, if you can share details about a couple of banks where you're looking at jobs, send me the URL, send me some documents on them, write-ups on them. I will, inshallah, be able to analyze and get back to you. But without that, I will not be able to comment. All right? I don't want to mislead you. So I'm going to avoid answering that question for now. How will job opportunities be in India for laborers and entrepreneurs? Now, you see, with India, there is a very good thrust on what is called the Make in India brand. Now, there are continuous focus on the Make in India brand, and therefore you will see a lot of startups coming in. And India does have a lot of startup, you know, it has a conducive environment for startups. So if you are a budding entrepreneur, you want to start off, India is a good place to start off. There's a lot of opportunities available for you. As far as the labor market, et cetera, is concerned in terms of jobs and so on and so forth, much like other economies getting affected, India might see some of it sector getting influenced because India does provide services to a lot of European countries in the West and as well as in the West. So naturally, those jobs might see that there will be some level of job cuts which will take place. But then this is not something which will be unique to India. It is happening globally. So keeping all of those factors in mind, while the job market should by and large be moderately good, but you will see some impact taking place here as well. But we hope there is no such impact and people don't have to lose jobs and people continue to, you know, flourish and do well for themselves. The key to this downturn, I have already shared with you. The key is investment in yourself. If you have that picture clear in your mind, if you are attending this session for an easy solution, that I'll attend Mansoor's session and he'll give me a solution, khalas, I have the key, I go open the key, unlock the treasures. That's not what I'm going to do. It's a treasure hunt. I'm inviting you to the treasure hunt. I'm inviting you through gaining of knowledge. Invest in knowledge, invest in your skills, and put trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right. So that's the treasure hunt that I have invited you to. All right. Any other questions here? Let's see. What do you think about the clothing sector? And I just lost it. Just give me a moment. Yeah. What do you think about the clothing sector in the Middle East? Do you think it has a negative impact, economic impact in Middle East? We are planning to start a more modest clothing business in Saudi Arabia, in Medina, inshallah ta'ala. A very interesting question because I have, been in the Middle East and I have spent a few months recently and I've been seeing how the demand is. And alhamdulillah, I see that people are buying. People are buying. There's a big demand in the Middle East. Middle UAE, for example, is a melting point. So, you know, people are coming from everywhere. The tourism sector in UAE is doing well. So when people are traveling to UAE in big numbers and tourism is doing well, naturally, there will be a tendency to buy things. When people go on tourism, they don't just simply like to go around. That's it. They like to buy something as well. So there will be, of course, a demand which will be there. I already told you that Middle East, African countries, South Asia are expected to survive this period well. They're not supposed to get very deeply impacted. So we're not looking at these economies getting impacted badly. The garment sector, the clothing sector is continuing to thrive. I see them doing very well. For Medina, when you say modest outfit, I'm assuming you're planning to set up hijabs, etc. Hijab is something which has a huge demand, if that is what you're looking at planning, Ahmed, when you said moderate, modest out clothing. That's what you said, right? What did you say? You said modest clothing business. So if you're planning to do something to do with hijab and abayas and so on and so forth, then remember that there is an existing market already over there. There are plenty of players already over there. At the same time, Hajj and Umrah has again opened up. So Hajj and Umrah is happening. People are coming there. People will buy. If your shop has got a good location, if your business has a good location and it has a good price to offer, a competitive price to offer, you will be able to do well for yourself. But remember, the key to doing business is patience, sabr. If you don't have patience, khalas, it will be over. If you start a business, people start a business hoping that in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, they'll start seeing the return. It doesn't happen. If that would have been the case, Steve Jobs wouldn't be Steve Jobs. Bill Gates wouldn't be Bill Gates. The Amazon founder would not have been able to start Amazon. Go to their history and see how many times they tried their hands at different things before they settled for something. You have to have sabr and patience. Things don't work out like this. If everything would work out like this for us, everyone would have a very high level of happiness index. But we don't. We're going through stress. And that stress takes out the best in us. So let the stress be there. Have sabr, have patience, wait. If you're doing the right thing, you're in the right direction, you know there are people to guide you and people around you are positive. Keep moving in that direction, inshallah ta'ala, all right? So all the best for your clothing business, Ahmed, mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you success in that. Kamal Salifu has joined us from Ghana. Thank you so much. We had people joining us from different parts today. And as I told you, that diversity is something which is special about the International Open University, mashallah, tabarakallah. We have students from all parts of the world. Okay, there's a student who joined us from, student of IOU doing a BA in Islamic Studies and want to teach the deen what I learn here. Is this qualification enough if I am to fly to Saudi Arabia, or what other qualification do I need? No, just a BA in Islamic Studies is not going to be enough. If you want to plan to study at a higher level, if you want to teach university students, then you need to at least strive to have at least a master's and then pursue a higher study, a PhD, a doctor in philosophy. You have to, then only you'll be able to teach. Doing a bachelor's is not enough to start teaching. Please understand that. Bachelor's does not give you a license to teach. A BA does give you teaching skills, but knowledge does not come merely by doing a bachelor's course. Please understand that. You need to be at least a master's in that level. You need to at least start off, yes, but with bachelor's, learning a bachelor degree and start learning, teaching it. People who are teachers have probably put that into practice and learned from their experience. Today, when I'm talking to you, I am sharing with you my experiences when I used to work. I was sharing with you about things which I learned at my workplace, challenges which I've gone through. And now I'm in a position where I can teach all of this to you. So I bring in with myself my experience. So I would suggest that if you're learning the deen, you're learning the knowledge of the deen, don't stop now. Continue at the next level. Don't be in a rush to stop here. If you are in a situation where you need to start earning immediately, then do start sharing some of the knowledge with students at primary school level or at mid school level, maybe even high school level. But that is it. You will not be in a position to teach beyond that, because with just a bachelor's, you will not be able to teach undergraduate students, leave alone graduate students at a higher level. Okay, so I hope that has been helpful. There's another question of relating to IT. Somehow I missed it out, so I'm not being able to locate it right now. Okay, but in conclusion, I mean, there are no further questions which have come. Zubair has asked a question. How can a student who study Arabic explore? Oh, lovely question. How can a student who's learned Arabic explore opportunities? There's so many requirements for translation. Do you know that? There are books which are getting translated. There are classical books which are in Arabic, which are not translated. Maybe you can work on translation of them. There are books which are written in other languages, which you might have a knowledge of, which you can help in translation into Arabic. Find out, get in touch with publishers. Identify these publishers, contact publishers if they are looking for somebody who has the skills for translation. In addition to this, there are a lot of jobs which are available where you need to do translation. You know, the Middle East documents, etc., which come in Arabic, translation services are required. So you can actually look out for those jobs as well. And of course, if you've learned the language of Arabic, put it to practice, put it to use, and then start sharing the knowledge as well. All right. So maybe you can start your own center where you start teaching kids with basics initially and gradually moving to the next level. All right. Thank you so much for your time and attending the session. Barakallahu feekum. All of you have taken out your time on a Sunday evening. And I would like to thank you once again. Remember, the Corporate Connect session takes place regularly with the International Open University. We look forward to inviting industry experts as well. If you have any specific preference who you would like to invite for these sessions, and you can put us through them, please do that, inshallah ta'ala. We will get in touch with them and get them over for your benefit once we do the check and see whether, you know, they can benefit the larger audience at the IOU. I wish you all the best. The International Open University is going through its revision session weekend right now. So very soon you will have your examinations coming up. I wish you all the best for your examinations. And for those who've joined us outside the International Open University, thank you so much for attending our session. Please remember to subscribe to this channel, because this channel at the IOU conducts a lot of programs. There are a lot of sessions which come on this channel. You can benefit from some of the videos over here. I also look forward to you participating in our future Corporate Connect session. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.